From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. We now continue our coverage of the historic global climate strike for the rest of the show, playing excerpts of speeches and interviews showcasing the diversity of actions for climate justice. We'll begin with a young Indigenous woman speaking on Friday in Washington, D.C.
There are millions and millions of people just like us who will never have, who have never had the rights to be able to stand here with us. Who are those people whose voices have never been heard? Who are the governments who are oppressing them? We need to be the ones who stand in for those who can't be here with us. We need to acknowledge their suffering by being the ones to stand up and say that we need clean air and we need clean water. There is no reason that one human being should be suffering on this planet. There is no need. The earth gives us abundance in every single area of our lives. Everything we've ever needed. Why is it that humans have forgotten how to live with that? Why is it that we have forgotten how to provide for ourselves? There are indigenous blueprints, indigenous ways of being, indigenous knowledge. This is what we should be looking at when we are talking about solutions to the climate crisis. Because every time that we think about what happens if we don't do anything, there are indigenous peoples who have been asking that same question for millennia. I'm 16 years old. I've been fighting for this since I was 9. Tell me why a 9-year-old would have to be talking to Congress people about her own future. Tell me why there are children who have to stand up for themselves. Where are our parents? Where are our grandparents? It was not our job to be here today. It was the people in Congress and it was the president. It was the people who tried so hard to get to this land. It was the people who massacred millions. You wanted this so bad. What's stopping you from fighting for it now? I have thought every day about what the future looks like for a daughter. What does it look like for our children? Why are there only a few clean rivers in this country? What happened to our ancestors? They have been fighting for this before we could even conceive what the climate crisis was. What does it mean that we don't honor that now? We, as indigenous people, if there's one thing that we can get across to all of you, is that what it means to be human is to be able to be a part of the earth. It means listening to the inherent balances and cycles and laws that the earth has already provided. It's our job to listen. It is our only job. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for showing up today. But we need to do more. There is so much left to do. Often when we talk about climate change, we don't talk about system change. Climate change is an intersectional issue. You can lower all of the carbon emissions you want, but if you are not respecting women, if you are not respecting people of color, what is the solution? We, as a human population, need to be the change, because I will not sit and worry about a future that I might not have. Remember who you are. Remember that you are always going to be a part of the very ground that you stand on. There is no us without her.
That's the voice of a young indigenous woman, part of an indigenous contingent on stage in Washington, D.C. on Friday. Also on stage was California Representative Nanette Barragan, one of several elected officials to address the climate-related protest actions.
Are you ready for some change? I am too. My friends, this is the moment, right here, right now. The alarm bells have been sounding for an entire generation, but this is the moment for you to be heard. You're being heard across the city, across this nation, and across the entire planet, which is literally dying to be heard. And it's beautiful to look out into this amazing sea and see our climate youth making the change and causing this movement to move forward. Are you ready? This in an urgent way, and we want climate action when? Now, we don't lack the science to know the climate crisis is here. Nor do we lack the brain power to heal our wounded planet from generations of abuse and neglect. But what we do lack is the will to act on it. You are all going to change that, right? And that's why having your voices here today is so critical and so important. Because like those in power who refuse to act quickly enough or boldly enough, like those in industries who place profits over the environment and over public health. And so I want to be here with you to know that we are going to continue to call out loud, rally, and show up until our voices are heard. Is that right? Well, don't stop and keep it going, and I will do the same in the United States Congress. Thank you for showing your power in numbers, your power in voice, and to our climate youth, let's do this!
That's California House Representative Nanette Barragan at the Global Climate Strike in Washington, D.C. on Friday. We go next to Los Angeles, where this program is produced, to bring you a conversation that we had with Indigenous organizer Lydia Ponce, followed by a 16-year-old high school student who attended the strike action in Pershing Square in downtown L.A.
Lydia Ponce, SoCal 350. I'm the Community Engagement Director, and I'm with American Indian Movement, AIM.
So this is not a new thing for you. Being at a protest like this is something you've done for a very long time. But for a lot of other people, especially young folks today, this might be their first big action. How do you feel seeing this turnout?
It makes my heart happy as a mother, as a grandmother, because it gives me hope that they don't want to accept from the adults, because in a blanket statement and generalizing, like from Greta, that the adults are responsible for this. And I have a sweet message for Greta. No, the indigenous people don't want this sweet message of love and saying the compassion came from indigenous people globally. If there was such a thing as free and prior informed consent and consultation, we would possibly be at the halfway mark of climate crisis. So it gives me hope as a woman, as a mother, and as a grandmother.
So today we are here in Pershing Square, Los Angeles, with thousands of people. There are other sites in New York is bigger, and people are in thousands of cities around the world are marching. The big question is, as a veteran of activist movements, can such actions actually be noticed by the powers that be?
Yes, because all these young people are learning about the process of voting and who to vote for, and knowing that this path of destruction doesn't include them just becoming 18. They are conscious, they are awake, they have heart. The fire in their heart and their spirit is awakening to truth, because thank God, you know, we have your kind of reporting with integrity and truth, that they can go to your reports to KPFK, the bits and pieces that last of truth out there. They know where to find it, and they can really educate themselves. This is the best education they could have. So the closer they come to turning 18, if I was a business as usual politician, be a Democrat or Republican, I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid, and I would listen to the youth. I would listen to them.
And so do you think that this sort of action can translate into the specific policy changes that we need? I mean, it's easy to say, you know, we should all stop eating meat. But really what we need is our politicians, right, to take action on fossil fuels, subsidize renewable energy. Those are very specific things. Do you have any messages for our elected officials? Because the kids are showing up, but maybe it's the adults' job to translate what they're saying into policy demands.
I actually think that they can speak for themselves, and I think that it's up to the adults to make it safe and to make sure that there's integrity in knowing that we've done everything we can for a security culture that has never happened in Los Angeles within the paradigm of marching and rallying, because we as adults are responsible for the minor youth that are here. However, LAUSD should take notice and not charge the students with truancy first and foremost, and make sure that this is part of the curriculum, because the truth has arrived. And if the message to the politicians, to the elected officials, open the door to the youth and create those youth councils. We have Anahuac-Mecac, the Semilla school here, embrace them because they're the only indigenous school here, for example, who go to the UN. And how come they're underfunded? How is it that we're not making sure that we're taking care of the students? And now it's a new day, Sonali. The truth has arrived, and you're here, and you're sharing your time and your energy and your talent. And I thank you so much for that.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm 16, and I'm Amanda Canaley.
And why are you here today?
I'm here to make a difference, to fight for climate change, because no governmental people are fighting for us, so we have to do it. We have to fight for ourselves, yeah.
What school do you go to?
I go to South Pasadena High School.
And do you have other friends of yours from school that came out today?
I have seen other people from my school, but not my friends. But yeah, I'm here with my family and other people from Greenpeace. Yeah.
Did you explain to your teachers that you weren't going to be in school on Friday?
Yes, I told my AP Environmental Science teacher I was going to be at the climate strike today, and he was really supportive about it.
That's great. Will you be penalized for not showing up to school?
I might get an absent on my schedule, but that's it, I think. Yeah.
Are you worried about your future?
I am, yes, because right now it's compromised with the laws that are in place and certain policies. So, yes, I am worried.
Do you feel like this is a very obvious issue to you and other young folks like you, but to the grown-ups who have power, they don't seem to be taking it very seriously?
Yeah, I think it is. They are very aware of the problem, but they are too focused on money. They're too greedy. So, but, yes, it is very obvious in my community and things like that.
Think money is a big driver?
Oh yes, that's why we haven't been taking climate change actions with policies and laws, because people are too focused on money, and in the entire classes they're too focused on money. Yeah.
Do you sorry to ask you a cliched question, but what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an ecological activist. I want to work in zoology, ecology, biology, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So this is a really important issue to you personally?
Yes, this is very important to me. Yes.
So do you feel that scientists need to be taking more active role in, you know, saying science is important, we need to adjust our policies according to what the science is telling us?
Yes, they can. They need to voice what they have learned, all the information that they have gained. We all need to voice our opinions more, which is what we're doing now. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That 16-year-old high school student, Amanda Canaley, before her, Lydia Ponce, indigenous activist, speaking to me in Los Angeles on Friday as part of the global climate strike. Also in Los Angeles on stage was actress and longtime activist Jane Fonda.
We are living at the last possible moment in human history when we can do something about climate change. Young people know this. It's their future we're talking about. That's why students all over the world have gone on school strikes for the climate. I'm so grateful to Greta Thunberg. Woo! And to the Sunrise Movement. Are the true adults in the room. But we cannot let our youth bear the burden for what the extractor class, the billionaires, and the politicians they've bought off have done to us. We must stand with youth. We must follow their lead. My generation won't live to see the results of our inaction. We were lied to. We were hoodwinked by the fossil fuel industry into believing that the earth was ours to endlessly exploit. No consequence. But ExxonMobil knew, and Shell knew, and BP knew. They knew, and they lied. Shame on them. And shame on the politicians they bought off. But we know the truth, and we are now experiencing the results of those deadly corporate lies. And because so much warming has already been baked in, we know it will get worse, even if we started doing everything right today. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says the only chance we have of staving off catastrophe is by keeping the temperature level rise below 2.0 Celsius. But we'll save a lot more if it's 1.5. This means cutting global emissions
and meat consumption. Yes, and meat consumption.
Let me, you be quiet. Let me just say something. Let me say something. It's very important for us to stop eating meat and get rid of plastics and drive electric cars. That's great, but it's not enough. We are not going to be able to cut our emissions in time unless we change our economic and social systems. We have to break every law in the free market playbook. And we have to do it urgently. We did it in a decade in the 1930s during the Great Depression with the New Deal.
Green New Deal!
And then, just like today, the rich people said, oh my God, socialism, oh my God, it's not realistic. But President Roosevelt did the right thing because masses of people were in the streets. There were mass movements. And he knew if he didn't do it, there'd be a revolution. That's the kind of mobilization it's going to take, only way more. And equality has to be built in. This is going to take an all-out war on drilling, on fracking, on deregulation, and racism, and misogyny, colonialism and despair all at the same time. That's what the New Deal is, the Green New Deal. Because yes, we are facing climate change, but we are climate crisis, but we are also facing an empathy crisis. It isn't only Earth's support system that's unraveling. Our social fabric is also unraveling. And since we have to take everything apart, let's put it back together the right way. So it's a win-win for everybody.
And that's a speech by actress Jane Fonda in Pershing Square, Los Angeles, on Friday at the Global Climate Strike. In New York City, where the largest North American action took place, Swedish teen activist Greta Thunberg gave a lengthy speech. We'll end with an excerpt of her Friday speech, followed by her powerful and emotional 5-minute speech to the United Nations Climate Conference on Monday.
It is an honor for me to be here with all of you today on this historical day. And thank you all so much for coming. I heard they were in New York. They're still counting, but at least 250,000 people. And around the world today, about 4 million people have been and striking, we are still counting. So this is the biggest climate strike ever in history. And we all should be so proud of ourselves because we have done this together. So thank you so much. We are not in school today. And this time, we are not alone. We have some adults who are not at work today either. And why? Because this is an emergency. Our house is on fire. And it's not just the young people's house. We all live here. It affects all of us. And we will not just stand aside and watch. We are united behind the science, and we will do everything in our power to stop this crisis from getting worse.
My message is that we'll be watching you. This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe. The popular idea of cutting our emissions in half in 10 years only gives us a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees and the risk of setting off irreversible chain reactions beyond human control. 50% may be acceptable to you, but those numbers do not include tipping points, most feedback loops, additional warming hidden by toxic air pollution, or the aspects of equity and climate justice. They also rely on my generation sucking hundreds of billions of tons of your CO2 out of the air with technologies that barely exist. So a 50% risk is simply not acceptable to us, we who have to live with the consequences. To have a 67% chance of staying below a 1.5 degrees of global temperature rise, the best odds given by the IPCC, the world had 420 gigatons of CO2 left to emit back on January 1st, 2018. Today, that figure is already down to less than 350 gigatons. How dare you pretend that this can be solved with just business as usual and some technical solutions? With today's emissions levels, that remaining CO2 budget will be entirely gone within less than 8.5 years. There will not be any solutions or plans presented in line with these figures here today, because these numbers are too uncomfortable and you are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us, but the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. the eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up. And change is coming, whether you like it or not. Thank you.
That's Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg on Monday addressing the UN Climate Conference. And that does it for our roundup of voices from the global climate strike. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.